This is Leo Babiu for KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio. Recording this visit on the phone with our Health and Human Services Department head, Lisa Hansen, on this Tuesday. It's January 18th. Do I have that right, Lisa? Boy, the days are getting stirred together. Welcome to the airwaves, Lisa. I'm glad to have you. We tried to reach out last week. Things were quite hectic for you and your office, and I'm really grateful you could join us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Leo.
Lisa, last week, it was right about the time when you were going to be reporting to the county board with your weekly report that we started to see the numbers that said, over this last weekend, looks like Omicron may be knocking on our door in Lake County. Has that just been confirmed in the past week? Where do we stand in terms of our case numbers and trends in the last 10 days or more?
Sure. Yeah, the Omicron variant has been identified in the northeast region of Minnesota as well as in Lake County. We don't really know exactly how many Omicron cases we've had, as only a fraction of the positive cases are sequenced. However, MDH estimates that 97% of the cases across the state are Omicron, and we don't have any reason to believe that that would be different here in Lake County, especially given the increase we've seen in numbers over the last few weeks. I think it's very fair to say at this point that we're seeing an Omicron surge in Lake County.
And of course, some of us are able to track how our county numbers are coming along, new cases that are reported, at least. We can see on the Minnesota Department of Health's daily case reporting, but it seems like there are some interesting variables going on now, Lisa, in that we've got a good tool, the rapid antigen test, but it also could be leading to there being many tests taken, many positive tests actually observed by folks, and if they don't report it to their doctor, will it necessarily show up anywhere?
Sure. We've always known that we're capturing only a portion of the positive tests in Minnesota. You know, some people were asymptomatic and continue to be asymptomatic and don't get tested at all. Some people do have the rapid over-the-counter tests that they're using now, and those results are not reported to the Minnesota Department of Health, even if a patient reports those to their health care provider. There is simply no process in place for that to happen.
I see.
So unless someone follows up with another test at a medical site, those positive cases are not included in the data we have.
Okay, so those follow-up tests, if a person gets that initial quick test, antigen test positive, there are a number of sites, not just official Minnesota community testing sites, but even at pharmacies and doctor's office clinics, all of those would be, quotes, in the system that does report.
Correct. Anyone who is running the test through a lab, the labs are required to report to the Minnesota Department of Health.
And so those lab sites can report, because some of them are also doing antigen quick tests. And so there are columns in the MDH reporting for both PCR tests, I believe, and the antigen tests. So we kind of have a feel for, at least at reporting sites, what percentage. But the PCR test still remains kind of the more definitive but slower to report back test.
Correct.
We're kind of observing It, like the tip of the iceberg when we look at what the trends are in any county or the whole state as a whole?
I don't know if I would say tip of the iceberg, but we're certainly not seeing the whole picture. And as I said, we've known that's always the case, that we're not identifying every single case of COVID that's out there. So we can only assume that the numbers are higher than the data that we're reporting. But the data is helpful in that it still identifies trends.
And I know you're not an infectious disease department, but I know you're in a significantly frequent consultation with folks that may be schooled in this. Antigen quick tests for at home can still be a very valuable tool. So they seem to be in short supply, or at least not being distributed so evenly. Is anything on the horizon through your department that would allow access of more people to more easily acquire these tests that are, you know, in some short supply in some quarters?
Sure. We did receive a very limited number of the at-home tests from the Minnesota Department of Health. Those have been distributed to people who have financial barriers to obtaining testing. In addition, starting tomorrow, Americans can order 4 free COVID tests per household at covidtests.gov. And we encourage people to do that and have those tests on hand. So if someone in the household becomes symptomatic or has been exposed, they can take that test and hopefully prevent further infections within the household and outside the household. So our Emergency Operations Center team will be discussing possible ways that we can potentially assist those who do not have internet access in getting those free tests as well.
What should people focus on doing with the test result? A home test, as you said, isn't reported as a state stat, but could be valuable information to a person in a workplace or a family with a child in school. What should they do with the information most appropriately?
Well, we've asked our staff, for example, to test if they've been exposed or if they have a household member who's tested positive or been exposed. And it helps us to keep people who could bring it into the workplace working from home and potentially avoid further spread. So that's just one example of how it could potentially be helpful to someone. But also, you know, if you've got an elderly parent or someone who's immunocompromised, you may want to take a test before you visit with that person just to make sure that you don't have an asymptomatic case or those symptoms you have attributed to a common cold aren't really COVID and you're spreading it to someone who might have a more serious outcome.
Lisa, it seems like we've been trying to catch up to the most current information all throughout, like going on 2 years of this pandemic, and yet Omicron threw us into another area of unfamiliarity because this variant we heard whispers of, and now they're saying more convincingly that it leads to mostly milder cases of an infection. SARS-CoV-2 can be a pretty devastating illness to people depending upon their health baseline health. And so what are you hearing are our greatest concerns? We're a little early in the upsurge in Northeast Minnesota to know. Hospitalizations haven't, for instance, in Lake County, seen any uptick yet. Is that true, that no residents have been hospitalized due to COVID over the past week?
That's true. In fact, we haven't had any new hospitalizations or deaths for several weeks now, which is really encouraging. But I do have to point out that those are both lagging indicators, meaning that generally speaking, when cases go up, a couple weeks later, hospitalizations go up. A couple weeks after that, deaths go up. So we could still see those numbers go up as well. We're certainly hoping that's not the case. But, you know, even with less serious illness associated with Omicron, there's still impacts to workforce. It doesn't matter if you have Omicron and very few symptoms or you have a serious case of Delta, you still can't work in most instances unless you can work from home. And that then is a drain on our healthcare systems when people can't work because they have it or their kids have it or their kids have to quarantine. So the more cases out there, the bigger the ripple effect, and it does have an impact on everyone, even aside from COVID.
And we've heard a lot how COVID affects the kind of the whole scope of the healthcare system when people can't get treated easily or admitted and put into the hospital when they have very serious conditions that aren't COVID, if we have a number of COVID patients being seen. And the other factor, and I think that you might have consulted with Greg Ruberg at Lakeview Hospital recently, is it'll also impact what staff are available for care. Could you kind of give us a glimpse of what you've heard from Greg in terms of what the Omicron wave has brought with it yet, or if it's mostly anticipation and concern on their part?
Sure. We've been working real closely with Lakeview, and we really value the partnership that we've established with them during the COVID response. I'm aware that their bed availability fluctuates on a day-by-day basis. They have, for some time now, experienced difficulty getting critical patients to a higher level of care, and if we continue to see cases go up, that could get even more serious. And, of course, everything in our healthcare systems is dependent on maintaining an adequate workforce. So the more people that are out dealing with COVID due to quarantine themselves or sick kids or daycares that are closed, the harder it is to keep those critical services in place and even clinic services in place.
Perhaps we'll have to check with Greg for an update later this week, Lisa. But from what I hear you saying, there can be this backup where they may have patients who need a higher level of care than they typically have at least.
Well, my understanding is that when patients aren't able to be cared for, patients that they generally wouldn't care for here in Two Harbors, they need to be transferred to another location. They've been unable to find a bed in a facility with a higher level of care.
Which means that the person remains at Lakeview while they're scrambling to regionally find them the bed. And this
Correct.
This could all get intensified if the staffing level is affected as the surge continues. So something to really keep an eye on, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So we have a milder strain, but if it's many-fold times more transmissible, clearly math might say that it all depends. You might still wind up with more people in the hospital eventually, but we're nowhere near seeing that yet. It's an interesting and kind of tenuous time we're in. Then we don't know whether in 2 weeks we'll be talking about increased hospitalizations in the county, but it's hard to say whether how prepared we'll be for that as well. There's a lot of question marks.
That's true. And all we can do is do the best we can and continue to monitor our data and try to give all the support we can to people who are dealing with this, including our healthcare systems.
But we do know one thing is that outcomes for folks who've had their vaccinations are more encouraging. They're even among people with the greatest vulnerability to COVID, that getting fully vaccinated, and we've been talking about that as being just the first two vaccines as being the full series and the booster. I don't know how we've characterized that in the public health community, but getting those boosters could be a big plus as well. Is this an easy time to be doing that in the midst of the Omicron surge? Is the county still trying to reach out and increase the vaccination of perhaps the people under 65 who might be the biggest reservoir for where the disease might be spreading? Are we still running more clinics?
To start with, we're really grateful that we have one of the highest vaccination rates in the state here in Lake County. As of January 13th, 71% of the total population has received at least one dose of the vaccine. We're one of nine counties who have achieved the 70% threshold of the total population for vaccination. In addition, our booster rate is pretty good as well. 4,375 Lake County residents, which is more than 40% of the total population, has received a booster dose at this point as well. So we would obviously like to see even more people get vaccinated and boosted, because we know it's the single most effective thing people can do to prevent serious illness, hospitalization, and death. So we have continued to schedule vaccine clinics based on demand, but we are seeing less demand in recent weeks, in part because vaccines are available at more locations in the county, and in part because we do already have a high vaccination rate. So moving forward, we'll be certainly discussing with our Emergency Operations Center team whether and when to schedule additional clinics and which vaccine to use and that type of thing. Right now, we're scheduled through the end of January, and we'll be looking at February in the near future.